Tiny Sparks and Turning Points is a monthly selection of protests, strikes and significant dates concerning social change in Australian history. This segment is presented by the Commons Social Change Library, a repository of more than 1,500 resources for campaigners, which can be found at commonslibrary.org.
On the 1st of October 1968, New South Wales' first ever teachers' strike was held to demand improved work conditions and increased funding for education.
On the 1st of October, but in 2004, refugees, peace activists and others picketed the Melbourne Arts Centre in disgust at Foreign Minister Alexander Downer being invited to address a symposium on Iraq and human rights challenges. Despite avoiding a giant rat trap laid at the entrance, the politician was still served with a citizen's warrant to answer for crimes relating to the invasion of Iraq and the torture of its people.
On the 3rd of October 1927, Aboriginal activists petitioned the New South Wales government, calling for an end to the forced removal of their children.
On October the 4th, 1956, Queensland's Premier Vincent Gehr declared a state of emergency in an attempt to force striking shearers back to work.
4,000 secondary students from 45 Brisbane schools struck on the 5th of October 1995 to protest against French nuclear testing in the Pacific.
On the 7th of October 2012, mining company ECI International gave up its license to explore for coal seam gas in a 500-kilometre area covering Colac and the Otway Ranges. This followed a series of packed public meetings throughout the region, as well as planned direct action.
ABC journalists in New South Wales struck for 24 hours on October the 8th, 1978, after an interview with one of the leaders of their union was censored by management.
On the 9th of October 1989, police evicted members of the Noongar community and their supporters who had been occupying sacred land at Gooninup on the banks of Perth's Swan River. Despite this, union bands and community pickets continued to halt destructive redevelopment until August 1992.
From the 9th to the 11th of October 2019, a spring rebellion saw scores of disruptive actions across Australia draw attention to the need for immediate climate action. In Melbourne, Extinction Rebellion activists took part in disco disruption actions that blocked streets and featured choreographed performances to the tune of the Bee Gees' Staying Alive. In Adelaide, climate rebels, dancing to the 70s disco classic Nutbush City Limits, halted traffic outside the State Administration Building, forcing the South Australian Premier to, quote, face the music.
On the 12th of October 1874, a crowd of 300 people gathered outside Castlemaine Jail to greet nine tannery workers who had been sentenced to a week in jail for, quote, absenting themselves from the hired service of George Cunnock. All had requested that they either be employed on the basis of an eight-hour day or be free to look for work elsewhere. Their employer insisted that they continue to work 60 hours a week for him. When they refused to do so, they were charged and convicted under the Repressive Masters and Servants Act. Led by a brass band, unionists and supporters marched through the Victorian town and held a public meeting that denounced the, quote, injustice, namely that a master may break a contract with impunity, but a servant only at the peril of imprisonment.
From the 12th of October 1944, striking printers and journalists in Sydney produced nine issues of their own newspaper, selling over 100,000 copies.
Unemployed protesters and supporters occupied the Elite Melbourne Club on October the 12th, 1982, to hold a luncheon protest against poverty.
On October the 13th, 1994, garbage collectors in Brisbane ended a six-day strike over the removal of rest breaks.
A 24-hour transport strike was held on October the 14th, 1946, as part of a national campaign to bring an end to wartime wage controls.
The opening of the Australian ballet season was cancelled on October the 15th, 1970, after dancers held their first ever strike. Following this action and a picket of the Canberra Theatre, management quickly agreed to improve wages and conditions.
On the 15th of October 1972, demonstrators marched 6 kilometres from the Carlton football ground to Pentridge Prison to show their support for activists who had been jailed for resisting military conscription.
On the 15th of October, but in 2006, cleaners rallied in all Australian capitals on International Anti-Poverty Day to support the Clean Start, Fair Deal for Cleaners campaign.
Thousands of university staff struck across Australia on the 16th of October 2003 against attacks on their unions.
Students at Marion High School in Adelaide struck on October the 17th, 1980, against the continuing use of corporal punishment.
With the lease on the United States Pine Gap spy base up for renewal in 1987, hundreds of protesters made their way to Alice Springs to take part in a convergence against nuclear war and militarism, and for peace and land rights. The peak of the protest came on the 19th of October, when more than 600 people gathered at the base's gates to hear local Aboriginal people and peace activists from across the country and around the world give speeches and read out an eviction notice. Anti-nuclear Senator Joe Valentine was arrested for attempting to deliver this document to military personnel, and a further 97 people were arrested for entering the base. A group of 10 grandparents, including Aboriginal activist Mum Shirl, were arrested the following day during another attempt to deliver the eviction notice.
During October 1985, Australian unions carried out industrial bans targeting the racist regime then in power in South Africa. These bans covered aviation, shipping, building, mail, telecommunications and other industries. They were capped off with a march and rally in Sydney outside South African Airways on October the 21st.
Sick and tired of government and union foot-dragging and echoing the struggles of the British suffragettes, Zelda Duprano chained herself across the doors of the Commonwealth Building in Spring Street, Melbourne on the 21st of October 1969 to demand equal pay for women.
The weekend of 22nd and the 23rd of October 1977 saw more than 50,000 people rally around Australia against uranium mining.
In 1977, the Victorian State Government announced its plan to demolish a number of residential homes in Melbourne's inner north to make way for the construction of the F19 freeway. A coalition of residents and political activists came together with the local council to resist the resulting wave of compulsory evictions. Over a period of months, the anti-freeway campaign saw Alexandra Parade transformed into parkland before a brick wall was constructed across the site on October the 24th. Barricades built out of cars and scrap material were also erected to slow the pace of construction. Although the blockade was eventually broken and the freeway completed, the protests achieved victories further afield, with proposed road projects cancelled and planning processes reviewed.
On October 26, 1848 in Launceston, a public meeting of artisans, mechanics and others was held to form a league whose members pledged not to employ convict labour after the next harvest. This came in the context of 12 petitions being submitted to Queen Victoria calling for an end to convict transportation to the colony.
On the 26th of October, but in 1990, 700 women marched from Hyde Park to King's Cross as part of annual Reclaim the Night events, opposing violence against women and expressing the right to walk the streets without fear. Marches had first been held in Sydney and Perth in 1978 and then spread to other parts of the country.
In their first statewide strike ever, Queensland ambulance personnel stopped work on the 26th of October 2005 to demand improvements in staffing and conditions.
5 days of strikes and protests by convicts at the Parramatta female factory peaked on the 27th of October 1827 when women broke down the gates, escaping into the bush and fighting soldiers and constables in the streets. This followed months of unrest over harsh punishments, poor rations and the gruelling living and working conditions that inmates and other women assigned to the workhouse had to endure. Following skirmishes, many women returned to the factory, but only after authorities agreed to restore rations and allow them to keep any food that they had requisitioned from nearby shops. Around 100 initially escaped, and 4 days later, 19 women remained at large. The final escapees would not be located until December. 5 further uprisings took place before the factory was turned into an asylum in 1848.
2,500 secondary school students struck against education cuts in Canberra on October 27, 1994.
On the 28th of October, 1916, a narrow majority of Australians voted against the introduction of military conscription in a national referendum. Although Prime Minister Billy Hughes's federal government officially had the power to introduce compulsory military service, the depth of opposition had forced them to seek a mandate. In the end, concerted campaigning ensured that this was not forthcoming. Defying restrictions on free speech, activists sang banned anti-war songs, distributed illegal pamphlets, and organised scores of rallies and meetings. Incensed at the defeat, Prime Minister Billy Hughes left the Australian Labor Party, passed draconian anti-protest laws, and instituted a crackdown on the vehemently anti-war industrial workers of the world. Nevertheless, conscription was again rejected at a second referendum in 1917.
You've been listening to Tiny Sparks and Turning Points. The segment will return next month. In the meantime, to find out more about the history of social change in Australia, you can visit commonslibrary.org.